Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to the A24 Project here in the Nerd Party Network. Every 2 weeks, we look at two films from the A24 filmography, and in between, we try and bring you interviews with the people involved behind them. In this episode, I'm joined by the incredible Jake Ryan to discuss his starring role as Gabe in Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade. Jake shares his experiences on the set of Eighth Grade, working with Elsie Fisher and Bo Burnham, his amazing career so far working with the Coen brothers, Wes Anderson and the Safdie brothers working on A24's Uncut Gems, and we cover much, much more in this interview. Thanks to Jake for joining me, and I hope you too will enjoy it.
You like chicken nuggets, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I got a 20-piece, and I also got two of every kind of sauce. But, you know, if you have a favorite sauce and want more than one packet of it, you can have mine. I like all the sauces equally.
Thanks.
Yeah.
What inspired you towards a sort of career in the creative arts? What kind of took hold of you at a young age?
When I was five, my parents decided to put me through, like, all these odd trials of activities and stuff like that. And it truly just came down to acting and gymnastics. And once they asked me, because I had to choose one or the other, once they asked me, Jake, you need to choose now, okay? Do you want to do acting or do you want to do gymnastics? I'm like, both. And then a year later, I dropped gymnastics and the rest is history.
What were the, like, films, performers that really inspired you to kind of make the decision to maybe move towards kind of film?
I don't really know. It's just something that, I don't know, it was something that I decided a long time ago, like, before I got into, like, the inner depths of, like, the movie industry, in a sense. Because, again, I was five.
And was it a challenge to sort of then turn it from a passion? Like, you've made that choice to focus on acting. How difficult was it to sort of then break into the industry?
Fairly easily for me, actually. I booked my first the first commercial audition I went on, and then ever since then, it's just been like uphill from there, or down. I don't know how to put it. I've had like a pretty fortunate career thus far.
And you touch on your sort of fortunate career there. You're probably best known to our listeners for your role in Eighth Grade, but you've had quite a big filmography for someone so young before even Eighth Grade. I mean, you've appeared in the films of Wes Anderson, that's when I first noticed you, the Coen brothers before then. What was it like to have such a kind of, you know, work with such great filmmakers so early in your career? What were those moments and experiences like?
Wes was always, like, super nice, and I was talking to him ever since I started with Moonrise Kingdom. We've kept in touch a little bit every now and again for, like, birthdays and stuff. But as a director, he was always very sure with what he wanted, something very specific, and he always got it. Like, he knew what he wanted is what I'm trying to say.
If people were maybe thinking, like, hey, I really enjoyed your work in things like, say, Eighth Grade, for example, what are the kind of films, shorts, work that you've kind of done that you would recommend people maybe check out if they were wanting to do like a Jake Ryan marathon or something like that? What would be sort of the lineup of work you'd recommend people to maybe check out?
I guess maybe Four Eyes, because it's sort of like a coming of age film about a kid with glasses. So maybe Age of Summer as well. That was a fun one. Perhaps after that, you could maybe go into, if you're in the mood for like horror movies, you could try The Innkeepers. That was also very fun for the short time that I was there. Oh, and obviously Moonrise Kingdom.
It sounds like you've appeared in so many different genres of films. So kind of in your kind of career, what kind of, have you always kind of made that sort of ambition to sort of star in kind of a diverse range of genres and films to maybe avoid being pigeonholed?
Not really. I usually try to take what I can get if I enjoy it, or if I can put myself into the role of the character just in like any way or shape or form, then I'm all for it. Despite the genre, although I do like doing comedies, that's nice.
One of the things you touched on, Moonrise Kingdom, how did that film kind of come around, and what was the experience of like on shooting on that film? I mean, for a lot of people, that is their favourite Wes Anderson film. It's definitely one of my favourites. What was that experience like, and how did you get involved in that film?
It first started out as like a piano audition when I was younger, because there was supposed to be a scene where I played like the entertainer or something, but eventually they cut it out and replace it with some other music, but it's been a little while. All I remember is just that it's been like a piano audition.
What is working on a Wes Anderson film like? I mean, everyone has an opinion on him. People love his work, his style, his design. He's one of my all-time filmmakers. What is that kind of feeling like on set that creates this magic that we see on screen?
Like I've said before, he knows it. He's like a very experienced director. He knows exactly what he wants, and he has like the he has like a sort of storyboard that he has, that's sort of just for essentially like every type of scene and stuff like that. So he has a very clear idea of what he wanted.
He seems like someone that would be a great director for actors to work alongside. What was there anything that you can remember that he said to you or that really stuck with you that sort of, you know, helped you on your kind of, you know, your with your early career?
Just be yourself. Just do your own thing. You've got it, or something like that.
It must be a kind of huge confidence boost when someone tells you, just be yourself. Like, that is the,
honestly,
your star quality.
Absolutely. After that, I was just rushing through everything. I was the most confident 8-year-old you've ever seen, and it was the best feeling in the world. I mean, I wasn't fearless by all means, but God, was I confident.
It must be hard to kind of, I suppose, build confidence and so on, and that when you hear words like that and to kind of appear in those kind of films, it must be huge as well.
Yeah, it really is. But over time, I guess I've sort of gotten like self-aware almost, and it sort of builds up like nervousness inside of me a little bit. But just be yourself have always just kind of stuck with me.
And I suppose be yourself kind of brings us to eighth grade, when, you know, for a lot of people, that was their first introduction to the joy of your acting talent and, you know, skills. When did you sort of first hear about eighth grade?
It actually started out as an audition for my brother. And then on the day he was supposed to go, I got an audition for it. And they decided to just push it back so we would go in together. And we both eventually got callbacks for it, so that was kind of cool. And it was like a next day callback thing too. Yeah, we were on the it was right after we were on the train home, and we just got we got an email or a callback for it. So after the day after, I think that was the day when Bo arrived or was there for the callback. And right before I got in the audition, we were sort of like making a little bit of eye contact and stuff like that. And it was like smiled and I smiled and stuff like that. And yeah, I thought he was like a chill guy. Like I didn't know who he was like at all. And that's also another thing. It does sort of help me out with my nerves and stuff like that. If I don't know who a person was, because I didn't know who Bo was at all again.
Was it always the role of Gabe that you were going for in this film, or was it sort of like a general audition at the start?
It was always for Gabe. It was always for Gabe.
And what was that audition process like? Did you sort of work together with sort of Elsie and sort of kind of, you know, trying to get that sort of relationship in this sort of audition process? What were they sort of looking for in the audition process for Gabe?
I think they were just looking for like a grounded and realistic version of a 13-year-old boy or a pubescent boy, like a quirky kid, as some people might call it.
With your character, we see that, you know, there's the swimming, there's the magic. Were they looking for someone like yourself, Jake, that maybe has that sort of jack of all trade, maybe you kind of touched on that confidence that would be able to have, you know, do many different kind of things in this film that could potentially be quite impressive?
A few years afterwards, my confidence sort of disappeared a little bit, and I've gotten a little bit more nervous as time progressed. However, I feel like they were looking for like a grounded and realistic version of a quirky kid. And it was mostly someone who was used to trying out new things like magic and swimming.
When you were sort of working with kind of potentially Bo Burnham, what did he tell you sort of in the audition process or in the early stages that he was kind of wanting from you for sort of Gabe, and what was his sort of interpretation of the character?
In the work session, Well, after the callback, he invited me to go for like a work session. And when I entered through the front door, they decided to like film me walking and stuff. Like, I think the DP was there and he was like filming me with walking, just trying to get like dry cuts and stuff like that, just to see how they would be able to shoot the film. And during the work session, he asked me to run in place just to get like the blood flowing and everything like that, just to get like a realistic representation of coming out of the water. And the most important thing he always told me was to just stay grounded and realistic as possible, how you as like a teenager would be able to play this.
Did you and Elsie Fisher kind of do much sort of work together to sort of build up that relationship that we see so well on screen? You play so well off each other in the film. Did you have to do much work kind of behind the scenes to get that there?
No, actually, we just had the one chemistry read, which is a week after the work session, and we introduced ourselves. We were both kind of shy at first, and then he decided to just. We went in the room. He turned on the camera to like record us, and he asked us to do like a little improv session of just like greetings and a conversation and stuff like that. And I noticed she had a taco shirt on, like a shirt of a taco stand and a cat or something like that. And I asked her, "Oh, you like tacos, huh?" She's like, "Yeah, I do." So I go, "Hard shell or soft shell?" And everyone just laughed or something like that. Like immediately after, it's like Bo's like, you got it, man. You got the part. And I was like, so exhilarating. It was so cathartic. I don't know. It was just like after the callback, I did like my own little research on who he was, because I watched like both of his specials on Netflix, and I had no idea who he was beforehand. And after researching, I just like. Everything just started to come at once, because it was just like the intimidation. But as a person, he's such like a chill and funny guy. It's hard to fit, like, it sort of cancels out almost.
Your character makes their big splash in the film at this like fantastic famous party scene. What was that like to be part of that, and there's so much going on, and then you come along. What was your kind of first day on set like, kind of shooting this scene, and what was your kind of memories of making shooting the party scene?
The party scene. Well, after the work session, Bo asked me and Elsie not to communicate with each other at all, just to, like, preserve the awkward chemistry that we had, So we decided that we would just sort of talk a little bit more on set, and I was only there for the last 5 days, which was the party scene and Gabe's house. So, for the pool scene, Bo asked me how long I actually could hold my breath, and we had like a sort of contest of sorts, and he won. He did win. So that was funny. We went out for, I think they had like an ice cream truck or something there too, so that was nice. I was hanging out with Elsie, Catherine, Aiden, maybe Bo, maybe the producer Chris as well. He was nice.
That's amazing. I never realized that you'd only been there sort of for the last 5 days. What was it like to come in so late to the film?
Honestly, it was such like a nice environment, and it was such like a nice and loving and warm environment. Like, everyone was so nice. It was welcoming and such and stuff like that. I was just taken aback at first, but then I embraced it. It was a really nice set. I mean, I'm glad I was there. I'm glad they invited me there.
What was Bo Burnham like as a director when it came to kind of like shooting the film? Like, obviously you've got your experience of him through the audition process, and then you come to realize how kind of, you know, this guy, you know, with his Netflix things, his Vines, all these sort of things. What was he then like as a director when you're sort of fully aware of who he was?
It's difficult to describe, because on one hand, he does let us keep it very loose, but also very tight. So he lets us improv some sort of, like, on the first few takes, he lets us improv whatever we want, and then, and just to, like, loosen it up a little bit more. And then we did, like the last few takes, we decide to sort of like stick to script.
How much of yourself, Jake, can you kind of bring to the role in terms of your experiences as a teenage boy with Gabe?
See, Gabe is a lot like myself in the sense where he's just, he tries to be nice to everyone, he tries to make everyone laugh, make everyone feel comfortable. So essentially, I was just sticking playing it very close to home, playing it how I, as a teenager, would act, essentially. I did have, I mean, again, Gabe was a lot like myself, well, is a lot like, I feel like still is a lot like myself, well, was when I was 13 or 14. But I guess in the sense, I kept it very close to home, and that's exactly who, I don't know, Gabe is like an extension of myself almost, because in every role I try to put myself into the character, and for Gabe it was essentially just like a perfect fit for me.
I always wondered about that, how big the line was between sort of you and the character of Gabe, but it sounds like it was a hand in a glove style role.
Essentially, yeah, there were just like a few minor differences, but he got it to like a T for me.
One thing I loved is the dinner date scene with the McDonald's, which I have done that before. That was another moment of like, oh my God, I feel seen in this this moment here. If you're someone like me who loves watching Blu-ray special features, you know, there's quite a few deleted scenes where there are sort of alternate takes of the dinner date scenes. Was there always going to be sort of this Rick and Morty scene that we kind of saw in the end? Or was it a case of, as you were kind of saying, there was a couple of different options to try first and seeing which one worked best?
Well, during the chemistry read for me and Elsie, we were talking about, I did like a little bit of a Rick and Morty impression. And they sent, I guess Bo kind of liked that, because right before we decided to shoot the dinner scene, he whispered in my ear, hey, so was a... Is it okay if you try out your little like Rick and Morty? Is it okay if you do like a little Rick and Morty impression? If that's like okay with you? I was like, oh my God! Like on the inside, I was like, I was internally screaming, oh my God, yes, yes, yes! It's like, oh yeah, sure, absolutely, because it was supposed to be like a surprise for Elsie as well, just to see how she would react. And what I'm trying to say is, no, it wasn't always supposed to be like in the script.
Is it one of those ones, do you take pride in the fact that your passion, your improvisation, your impressions has ended up sort of being the take that people have gone with? And I think for many people, that is one of the highlights of that film. There's such kind of a warmth and smile people get when they watch that. I mean, I'm someone, I never got into Rick and Morty, but I knew about the sauce thing from the news when it exploded about people fighting in McDonald's over that sauce. And I was like, I get that reference. How does it feel to have made such a kind of cultural impact with that scene?
I don't know. It was very overwhelming at the time, because I had so much fun just playing with Elsie. Just playing in that scene with Elsie, because she did great in that. She did so well in the movie, and she did so well in that scene. She's a great actress. For the Rick and Morty thing, I did end up meeting Justin Roiland a little while ago, and that was like a culture shock moment for me as well. So the creator of Rick and Morty, it was such like a culture shock moment for me as well, because I get intimidated when I know who people are, when people have like a good reputation and stuff like that. And as for the scene and how it affected everyone, I take a lot of pride in the fact that people think I did a good job, although it does make my performance does make me cringe a little bit, like that scene specifically, because again, it hits very close to home, and that is how a lot of people would react. That is how a lot of us started out, like going, just like hanging out with people.
When was the moment that you realized that this scene was resonating with people? And do you often find people that will come up to you and go, oh, can you do that Rick and Morty impression that you do so well? Was there a moment that you clicked that, oh, wow, like this is, you know, it's not just a scene that I've been in, it's a scene that people seem to like and really enjoy?
When they first invited me to go to like the screeners, well, to like a screening of the movie, I had no idea what it would be. I didn't really have any expectations a little bit. I had no idea that it would take off as well as it did, because I was only there for like the last 5 days and everything. I mean, I knew who Bo was, but I had no idea that 8th grade would take off so well. And I'm just very fortunate to have been a part of that. As for just like it resonating with when they invited me for the screening, I thought it did such a good job at portraying like young people. They're just like the pubescent era and that in like this generation, I feel. When people reacted to me, it made me feel a little nervous and overwhelmed a little bit, but I mean, at first, because I don't know, it's just very, it was just like a lot of positive reception all at once, and I didn't know how to handle that at first. However, now, looking back on it, when people go up to me, they say stuff like, you did such a good, oh my god, I loved 8th grade, you did such a great job. It still makes me feel like a little uneasy sometimes. Not uneasy, just nervous sometimes, just to be put on a pedestal like that almost. I mean, I think people did ask me to do like the Rick and Morty impression in a Q&A this one time when we were doing the press tour for 8th grade, so that was funny. The press tour was so fun though, meeting up with all the cast.
I just kind of developed a bond that sort of like kind of carried on beyond the film from sort of the press tour. I suppose you probably spent more time with these people publicizing the film and promoting it than you probably did on those 5 days on set.
Oh, absolutely. I actually reconnected with an old acting teacher, well, acting coach of mine, because I did take a lot of acting lessons when I was younger. And the guy who played, what was his name? The guy who played Trevor, Fred. He was like the assistant teacher for one of the acting classes I was in, and he's such a nice guy as well. Pretty much everyone in the cast had like their own vibe to them, and it was just so nice. They were just so cool.
A scene that didn't make the final cut, sadly, is you performing this magic trick for Kayla. I find it it cracks me up. I'm sure if people don't have it on Blu-ray or digital, I'm sure it'll be on something like YouTube or something. With this kind of magic trick, did you have to sort of learn these magic skills, or did you already have them in sort of your back pocket? Are you a bit of a kind of magician at heart, Jake?
I wish it was the latter. However, here's what happened. After the chemistry read, Bo said that he would. Bo and his friends said that he would. That they wanted me to do like the magic scene was always going to be a part of the script. So they were going to send me like a magical kit, like a magic kit of sorts. And magic was actually a passing interest of Bo's, so I think that's what inspired him to add it to Gabe's character. So they gave me 1 month to prepare. After they sent it to me, they had like the magic rings, the rabbits, the balls, and stuff like that. So I think it was like the last day of shooting. We decided to do the magic. We were doing the magic scene, or like one of the last days of shooting. It was the second to last day. So once we got there, I showed them what I got. I showed them what I had, and they said, "Oh, this is a." This is fine. How about we try something else? So they gave me like, so the prop master took me aside and showed me like 11 or 12 brand new tricks that I had to cram, well, that I had to make like a show out of sorts. So what you see is what you get, because there was no prep time for those tricks that you've seen. except for the rings, if they showed that.
Yeah. When you kind of look back on your eighth grade experience, what were some of the highlights and special kind of memories you have from those 5 days? It must have been a whirlwind for you.
Everyone was just so nice. Elsie was just being Elsie. She was being great. Bo was like a very good director. Bo was like being a very chilled. He was being a... I did have this one thing with Catherine where I'd ask, like, do you like jazz or something like that? Because they were like, it was in the middle of the summer and the bees were still going for the flowers and stuff like that. And we were just chilling out, talking in between takes. And me and Elsie had like this little umbrella battle that we did, just sort of like a sword fight thing. So that was cool.
I was gonna say you never know, someone might have caught that and it could be in the next Star Wars movie. They might have seen your, you know, sword fighting techniques. That could be your next big role.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just practicing for my fencing now, you know.
When did you sort of see the finished film for the first time, and what was that experience like going into to watch it for the first time, and then what was your reaction when you saw how well it played?
Gosh, it had to have been at like maybe April or something like that. Again, they invited me for a screening in April, and then I thought the film was incredible. I loved being a part of it, but just my performance as a whole still to this day still makes me cringe a little bit. I don't know, it's just very difficult to watch myself on screen usually.
One of the things that surprised me in your post sort of eighth grade career, and it was I watched Uncut Gems last October in the cinema, and I was just like processing the film, like, wow, that was something special, that was incredible. And then I noticed Jake Ryan as Dwarf 2 in the credits, and I was like, is that the Jake Ryan from eighth grade? And I go on to IMDb as I'm sort of walking home, and I'm like, yep, yeah, that is Jake Ryan from eighth grade. How did this role come around? Because it's such an interesting credit there on your IMDb, there in the film as Dwarf 2. And I suppose for people that might not be familiar with that scene, or maybe they kind of, you know, missed it, can you tell people a bit about your role as Dwarf 2 and how it came around?
Well, I can try. It was at that very same screening where I met the Softy brothers. Well, just Josh, actually. So my brother was there as well. We were just trying to mingle, but eventually just decided that there was an after party for the screening. They had like popcorn, drinks. Although I'm still underage, but I couldn't drink. But I didn't drink any. Anyways, we were just trying to mingle, and suddenly, I think we ended up talking to Josh Softy. He had like this very scruffy beard, and I don't know, we were talking about like this scene from his childhood where he was at his house or his apartment or something, well, when he was younger. His dad was in the bath. He was with his friend, his dog, and his dad. His dad was in the bath. Sorry if this is kind of gross. His dad was in the bathroom, and his brother, well, his friend really had to go, so he had to go like right there on the like right in front of the bathroom, and his dad opened the door, and then his dad accidentally stepped on the you know what's it, and then he blamed it on the dog, and then he realized that it was actually his friend, and then he chased him all around the apartment complex, and we had like a good laugh at that because it's such an interesting story. So then he came up, he asked me and my brother if we wanted to be in his new movie. Like, he asked us if we played like basketball or something, and me and my brother looked at him, and I go, no, not really, because, you know, I'm not a liar, because I'm not very athletic at all. He's like, no, that's fine, I just want to put you in my movie. He was just like complimenting me and stuff like that, and made me feel nice. So then he went over to my mom. He was talking to Fred's mom, I think, and my mom was questioning the legitimacy of the situation, because, again, I tend not to know who people are, which is probably for the best, just so I have, like, an authenticity to myself, or just so I don't get intimidated or nervous around anyone. So, eventually, he was talking to my mom, saying like, I want to put you in my movie. It has like Adam Sandler inside of it. I mean, no, it has like Adam Sandler in it. And she's like, oh, okay. It's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah. We'll keep in touch. So a little while after that, I think it was like 6 months, I just got back from LA and we went through like the entire process and we decided that I would just star in like a cameo role for Uncut Gems, which was an actor playing a dwarf. I still actually haven't seen Uncut Gems yet because I've been a little busy, but I only spent like a day there. It took like 2 or 3 hours putting like all the makeup on and the nose, and they were going to put me in like teeth, but it was uncomfortable, and they wanted to understand what I was saying. And it was cool. I didn't really know why Adam Sandler was dressed up like Neo from The Matrix, but it was very pleasant meeting him.
What were the Safdie brothers like as directors? Were they quite, I can imagine them being quite different to some of the talent that you've worked with before. What makes the Safdie brothers so special? I mean, it's great to see them getting the acclaim that they've deserved for years with Uncut Gems.
It was interesting because there were just two directors for the price of one, so they both had like their own outputs and stuff, so they both had like their own ideas and they sort of like experimented a little bit.
And with Uncut Gems, like, as I say, you've not seen it yet. Is it something that's on your like watch list to check out to see how you fit into this film and so on? Because I love the film. I would love to sit down and watch it with you with some chicken nuggets.
Yeah, that would be nice actually. Where would we meet up if that were the case?
That's true. There is, I suppose, a huge ocean and then a huge American, you know, country that divides us. That's a good point. Well made. And following sort of like the success of things like Eighth Grade and stuff like that, has it had an impact that have kind of it helped kind of bring in different roles and, you know, people are, you know, as you say, the Safdie brothers, you know, have picked you out after seeing something like Eighth Grade. Has it had a positive impact for you?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm actually here right now working on a project because they saw me in 8th grade. It's called Chad. It's going to be on TBS or whatever the Time Warner app or whatever Time Warner app is going to be on in a little while. Warner Media, rather. Streaming app, rather. Yeah?
And what other projects are coming up that people can look forward to or that have been out since 8th grade that people maybe haven't got round to checking out yet?
At the moment, right, it's not out yet, but we're working on it right now. It's called Chad. It's going to be on TBS soon. Well, probably in June or something like that. So, it's like a gay-ish character goes to high school.
I'm already sold on that. And is that sort of like a kind of TV series, is it?
Yes, it's going to be like, it's going to have 10 episodes. It'll have 10 episodes and it'll be here by June, I can imagine. Well, I co-star with Nassim Pedrad. It stars Nassim Pedrad as a 14-year-old Iranian American boy.
Sold. I'm looking forward to that one. And we kind of finally we pose this question to everyone we get on the show. You've had the joy of starring in two A24 films, Uncut Gems and Eighth Grade. What are some of the highlights of their filmography for you, Jake?
I feel like it would be easily Hereditary, because that movie was crazy. I'm still waiting to see Midsommar, so I might see it later this week, because it's on Amazon now. Yeah. But Hereditary definitely took the cake with just like the atmosphere and the crazy ending. That was cool.
And is it quite exciting to have been in sort of two of their kind of most popular films of sort of the past few years in terms of Eighth Grade and Uncut Gems?
I look forward to working with them hopefully again sometime in the future because I don't know, they're just so, everyone in A24 is just so cool, I feel. I did get to go to the offices for like another interview and we went on like we went to like arcades and like a pizza place, which was where they filmed Spider-Man 2. So that was cool.
Oh yeah, I'd read that article. It was a really cool one and stuff like that. And is it one of those ones, is it exciting that something like 8th grade's, you know, people now know who you are, can recognize you, you know, probably pick you out in the street. Has it been sort of an exciting kind of experience to have been in a role like that, where here we are, like, 2 years after it kind of went to Sundance and so on, and people are still talking about it, excited by it, and here we are kind of chatting about it today?
It definitely has had a very positive impact on my life thus far, and especially in my career. Well, because everyone, like, whenever people talk to me, most people just reference me to Gabe as Gabe from eighth grade, and that makes me feel nice. It makes me feel very it gives me pride that I was a part of something like that.
And finally, if people wanted to reach out to you to keep up to date with any sort of new films, projects, etc. that are coming out, where's the kind of best place to follow you, kind of, Jake?
Probably just Twitter and Instagram, like how you found me, essentially.
Yeah, it's as simple as that, isn't it? Well, thank you so much, Jake, for giving up your time to chat with me today.
Yeah, thanks so much, Lee. Hopefully Cheers. We can chat sometime later in the future.